What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 162, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me back this week from hiatus is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? You know, it's all about that forward slash, you know?
It's the forward slash, yes. You've been, you were in San Diego, you're in the warm weather, and you came back home, and we had this, they made it out to be the worst winter storm ever, but it's been pretty bad for you. Tell everybody kind of what you're dealing with.
Oh, well, I got back on Wednesday. On Thursday, my furnace died. I didn't get a new one in until yesterday. Then I had some water issues. Now I got a whole restoration project going on apparently for the next probably month or so.
Yeah, so your pipes froze, right?
Pipes froze, yeah. The shower pipes froze, and then they thawed out while they were on, like they were open and on, and then the drain ended up being frozen. So that put, I don't know how many gallons of water. Luckily, we were only gone for like probably an hour when it happened, so it wasn't too bad. The guy that came in, he was like, oh man, I've seen this way worse. So I mean, that's good, but it's still gonna be, because it was right into my kitchen, man, and down in, dude, all my computer equipment almost gone.
Oh, that would have been rough.
Yeah,
that would have been real rough.
Yeah, so
anyways,
how's it going for you?
I mean I feel bad, you know, like that's just, you know, no furnace is bad, and then having the pipes freeze and having to deal with all that is really worse. I mean, it's been cold here, and we've had some snow, but it hasn't been horrible at all.
Yeah.
And they made this out like it was going to be the craziest winter storm ever to hit Pittsburgh.
No, what was they calling? Reason. They're calling like for 40 inches, like on the East Coast somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, they declared a state of emergency in Pennsylvania, didn't they?
Yeah, they shut down the main, like the main highways, they closed the malls, they did all this stuff, and it rained for most of it, and then overnight it snowed. But I mean, I woke up to maybe 2 inches, 3 inches.
Well, you never know.
Yeah,
you guys probably don't know how to drive over there, so
I mean, we drive pretty well. it's not like the West Coast where it rains and the people don't know what they're doing. But yeah, so let's get into tech. Let's do some tech stuff. So we do, you know, since we're, you know, all back from CES, we got some reviews done, and we have some one really interesting product and one that is pretty awesome if you want to protect your data. It's the iStorage Disk Assure 2. It's an external hard drive. It's not an SSD or anything like that. It's just a normal hard drive, but it's like 100% secure. It features real-time AES XTS 256-bit hardware encryption. So there's no software with it. So most of these drives, portable drives that you get that offer some type of protection, it's all software-based, and that's easy to crack, I would say.
Yeah.
With this is all hardware-based encryption. There's actually a pin pad on the top of the drive that you have to put in a code to get into the drive. So when you plug this into your computer, it's not going to do anything. It won't recognize the drive. It won't do anything. But if you put in your PIN code, it will unlock the drive. So just that by itself is pretty awesome. You know, people steal things all the time. And, you know, if you have sensitive data, you don't want anybody getting at that data. And that's, you know, just having that type of protection really will keep your data safe. But on top of that, this offers a lot more. Talking about that PIN pad, it has a special coating on it. So, like, you've ever seen those movies where they, like, put, like, a light up to, like, a keyboard or something, and you can see, like, the keystrokes
or something like that. Yeah.
It has a coating on there that doesn't allow for that.
It won't pick up fingerprints?
Yeah, so you can't see, like, what the pin is.
Or which keys are being used. Like, it's correct. Not, like, oil-resistant keys or something.
Yeah, so it has that on it. It also has it has a couple modes. It has one where if somebody enters the code in, I believe it's, like, a wrong code 10 times, it completely formats the drive, like, gone. completely resets. There's so say another scenario that you see in movies is like they've got you, right? They've got you and detained you, and they're like, put in your code, unlock this drive, right?
Yeah.
there's a self-destruct code that you can put in. So you know, you're acting like you're putting in the correct code, but it's the self-destruct code. So when you hit that final button for the self-destruct code, it's going to completely format and destroy the drive, which is awesome.
But then they kill you in the movies.
Yeah, that's true. Be like, oh, it wasn't on here.
Oh, wrong drive.
But also on the drive, one more thing about that is that it also has, like, it will lock itself after a certain period of time. So, you know, you're working on some data, you have, you know, you're at Starbucks or wherever, you have to go to the bathroom, and, you know, somebody can access your data really quickly or something. It will, you can set it between 5 minutes to up to, I think, 99 minutes or something like that as a timeout period. It will relock itself. So that's another safety precaution. But one of the coolest safety precautions, because all these safety precautions are great, but what if you're going to bust open this drive and just take the hard drive, right? Where their next thing comes in.
Break the lock open.
Is that all of the components inside the drive, including the hard drive, all the connections, everything, are completely covered by a layer of epoxy resin, which makes it virtually impossible to remove the drive without causing damage to it.
Man, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, they've really thought of everything with this drive. You know, I would say working in government or you just have really sensitive data that you don't want somebody to get their hands on, this would definitely be the drive for you. It's a 5400 RPM normal hard drive. It's not something super fast. But we tested it. It's like around 140, 150 megabytes per second read and write, which isn't bad. You know, it's a USB 3.1 Gen 1 drive. It's going to do everything that you want. But if you're looking for super fast speed, like an SSD, I believe this company offers an SSD version. But the 1 terabyte drive that we reviewed is $260. So it's a little expensive if you think about portable storage, and the capacity and the speed, but no other drive is going to offer you this type of protection.
I gotta be honest, like a company named iStorage that's an expensive product. That's all about that security though.
Yeah, but it's the security. So I think you're getting a lot. But again, if you're looking for a faster drive or you don't need all this security, it's kind of pointless to put out that much money. When you can get a normal, you know, even a normal portable hard drive at 1 terabyte is like 50, 60 bucks these days.
Is it even that much? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the security features are awesome and just like being able to have like that, you know, self-destruct pin I can put in there and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's spy stuff. That's for sure.
Yeah. But. So check out our review if you want to know more about the drive. I think it's really cool. They offer it in a bunch of different colors too. So we got the blue one, but you know, just something cool. And you know, if you have data to protect, it's definitely a drive worth, you know, considering.
How's the price compared to like other drives in its like category of security?
Go on Amazon real quick. I didn't look. Let's see if I.
That'd be my question. Really?
So there's a Lacy Rugged Secure 2 terabyte. Here's some that I actually have. So the Apricorn Aegis Fortress, which is another drive. It offers the like the FIPS validation.
Yeah.
Which is the same. This the iStorage also has FIPS validation. Their 1 terabyte is $212.
Okay,
so
it's a little cheaper.
Yeah, but the Lenovo offers a ThinkPad one. It doesn't give me like specs on what it's about.
And you'd have to get into like, does it do all the things?
Yeah, that one's $230 for a 1 terabyte.
Okay, so it's definitely at the high end. The question is, like, do all the other added features make it worth it?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking in this category, you know the features that you're looking for. You know you want a certain type of encryption. You might want it to be validated. Like, this one and that one I just mentioned are FIPS validated, which is a type of security validation.
Right.
Just like... iStorage drive is also IP56, which means it's dust and water resistant too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're in this sector, you're looking for a drive like this, you know what you're looking for, and you'll pick the one that has the features that best match what you want.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it's a cool hard drive. It's definitely very cool.
Yeah.
And again, just check out a review to see, you know, if it's something that you might be interested in. And it doesn't look half bad either. I think it's a cool looking drive. So
yeah.
So yeah, so moving to the complete other end of the spectrum, we have a CPU cooler, an air cooler from Cooler Master. It is their Master Air MA620P. And the last cooler we took a look at from Cooler Master was, while it looked amazing with RGB lighting and everything, it was a little disappointing in the performance. And this drive, or not drive, this CPU cooler is much better in regards to all of that. It performs really well. It's a dual tower cooler with dual fans, which are RGB fans. But it performs really well. It's our second best cooler behind the Sith Ninja 5, which is a massive gargantuan cooler.
Yeah.
Now, I like the cooler in terms of performance and everything like that. Installation is just... I just feel that Cooler Master still hasn't got it right. It's one of those ones where you have to use like those little bolts and the little screwdriver. No. Or not even the little wrench they give you.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And like the Sith Ninja 5, which is massive, which is like the biggest cooler we've ever reviewed, was so much easier to install than this cooler.
This is like old school Cooler Master installation process.
Yeah, and they've gotten so good on their AIOs. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better. They're not the best, but they've gotten a lot better.
And you would think with their CPU coolers, like they would have some type of universal mounting system for all of them that would be easy. And the last two coolers were different mounting systems, and they were both just kind of annoying.
Really?
Yeah, the other cooler that we reviewed had a bad mounting system. This one is different, but it's still pretty bad. Go ahead. The biggest thing with this is that in order to get to those bolts and actually put them on, the little pegs, you really have to uninstall your graphics card, take out your memory, and more than likely take your motherboard out of your case. It's just that hard. I mean, I don't have massive hands by any means, but like even on the test bench, like I had to take out my graphics card on a test bench to install this.
I'm just looking at it at your main picture with the RAM installed. And it's like, there's no clearance there. What do you mean? Like, and how would you do that? How would you possibly do that in a regular case?
Yeah.
Like you're all the way up into the top of the case there.
Yeah. There's no way to...
And that's how you secure it.
Yeah. Believe me, I know. So hopefully, I mean, this cooler did come out in 2018. So hopefully, maybe with their 2019 coolers, they've
corrected. I'm sorry, you said 2008, right?
That's kind of what it feels like. All of the, like, Noctua, Sith, who else makes air coolers? I mean, most of these companies, most of these companies have, like, Noctua has used like their, I think it's called Secure Firm 2. That might be what's this one of them. It's like been the same forever, and it works, and it's easy, especially with how large their coolers are. You can still install inside of a case without having to take anything out or any of that.
Yeah.
This installation is just bad. I know you're going to do it once. Most people, right? You're going to do it once.
This one, you're probably going to do it a few times because it's going to be impossible to get a good mount with that system.
Yeah, it's difficult. So that's the big downside to this cooler. It does come with an RGB controller for the fans. It's not addressable RGB like the other cooler. This is just normal RGB. So you have four RGB LEDs in the center of each fan. The controller allows you to switch between seven different colors and do, I think, four or five different effects, which is, I think, adequate. But it's also a standard 4-pin connection, so you can connect it to your motherboard. For RGB control as well, and it works with all the major motherboard brands and all that. But the controller itself uses a Molex power connection.
It doesn't use a SATA.
It is not using SATA. So that's the other thing I kind of knocked them for. I mean, even if the cooler came out last year, I mean, you know,
dude, everything has been SATA for like 3 years now.
Yeah, what are you doing on that? So like, I actually had to go in my bag for my power supply and grab a Molex thing to connect this thing.
Yeah, so, looking at some of these kids probably don't even know what one of those is. They don't even know what a Molex adapter is.
you sound really old saying that, but yeah, so I think that, you know, like I said, it has those faults, but it is a really high performance cooler. Second best in our load testing, and definitely performing better than the stock cooler that would come with like your 2700X and any of the Ryzen coolers and all of that. So it is a good cooler. It does look good too. I think the RGB lighting is fine. It looks good. And the performance is good. Just the installation, they just need to improve. And that's kind of how I feel about that one. But
revamp the whole thing, but the cooling.
Yeah. Fix the mounting system and put a SATA on that. Put a SATA on that thing for power. So check out that review as well. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And last week you missed our best case mods of our case mods of CES 2019. But we're going to feature a build that we also featured there and we got to see up close and personal. Yeah. Which was the Zotac CES 2019 build by GGF. I'm sure everybody's heard of them by now. And this is just like a show-off build. I kind of like it. It features just like some of the best products out there. It features their RTX 280 Amp Extreme, which we reviewed.
Yeah, that was what they were really showcasing.
And it also has that awesome G-Skill Trident Z Royal memory inside. You add that to any build and it's just awesome.
Dude, that was in like every build. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. And it's in that Inwin X-Frame 2.0, which can be turned around and everything like that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, like adjustable standing bench.
And there's like some RGB lighting in here, like on the front and like on the memory and on the fans and stuff, but I don't think it's overdone. It's just like a clean build. It's just like clean.
For what is essentially a test bench, yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely like it. I like the showing off of the graphics card and all of that. The power button that's below the graphics card I think is cool. It's just nice.
It's probably best case scenario for showing off a graphics card, and I mean, that was the point of it, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Good on them.
It looks good to me, and obviously it does have some chrome tubing, you would call it.
Yeah.
Chrome hard tubing there, which looks good, and just like I said, it's all to show off the graphics card, so you're not gonna see like crazy water cooling, I would say, in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I like the one thing that you would notice if you look at the picture of the back, they actually use black hard tubing on the back. That was a nice to blend in because it's nice all stuff. It's all matte on the back. That's a nice feature.
Yeah, that is cool. See, I wouldn't even have saw that.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it's a nice clean little build. It's very reminiscent of most GGF builds, so
yeah it has that GGF style that we
very
kinda
very
all
clean
know.
yeah
Check that one out, and as I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds, so if you're looking for some inspiration or want to just see what you can do with computer parts and all that, definitely check out that whole section. And that moves us on to news. So we're finally past CES and all the craziness of the list last week for news was just crazy. But we have a few things this week, and it's a little bit shorter because we did the podcast on Wednesday, not Tuesday of last week. But first, the GTX 1660, it looks to be a thing. It looks like it will be coming out. So basically what NVIDIA is doing is they're making a graphics card that doesn't have RT cores for ray tracing. And this kind of makes a lot of sense because a lot of people aren't going to use ray tracing or make use of ray tracing, I would say, just because it does tax your system a lot. And a lot of people just don't care. They want just good performance. So with this, it is going to be, it's going to be based on the TU116 ASIC, and it's going to have 1536 CUDA cores. It's based on the Turing architecture, obviously. And it's got the same memory setup as the RTX 2060, which is 6 gigabytes of GDDR6 across a 192-bit memory bus. This could, because you don't have the RT cores, this could be a sub-$300 card, which is a great space to compete in. But it's just, this whole 16, you know, staying in the 10 series.
And the naming scheme is ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
I think the real question here is that this thing, it's got to be cheaper than the 2060, right?
Yeah.
It sort of needs to be faster than the 2060 because it doesn't have RT cores. I feel like it kind of needs to be faster, but they also can't make it faster because that'll cannibalize the RTX 2060. I think more people would buy this, I think.
It's going to be faster than the 1060, but slower than the 2060. It's going to, like I said, just like talking about that, another leak came out that this card was indeed benchmarked in Ashes of the Singularity. And it's about, they said 19% faster than the 1060 in this test. So the card definitely exists because it showed up in this benchmark, unless this is completely Photoshopped. So, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at. You're looking at about 19 to 20% better than a 1060.
Who cares? Like 1060, like, okay. Well, that's not what we're, I don't know. I don't think that the person that is shopping in that segment for cards isn't like the like year to year upgrade person. You know what I mean? They're like just price shopping. So you have to be at a certain, it's the comparison is more important versus the 20 series cards, I think.
Yeah.
So this has to be, I would say it's got to be probably significantly cheaper than the 2060 if it's going to be slower.
What price do you think this will be?
I mean, ideally, it'd be like 230.
I think you're going to, you know what's funny is like, I think of a price and I'm like, NVIDIA will probably make it 299. You know, I think 249 would be pretty good. 230 would be really good. There's also rumors that there's going to be a non-TI version that features GDDR5X, which NVIDIA has a shitload of. So that might be your 230. This might, I don't know.
Dude, these guys they're playing around, man. They need to stop playing around. AMD is, dude, give them, they're nipping at your heels no matter what you want to say in your press releases. Like, they're right there, man.
Yeah. So, this card is rumored to come out next month in February. So, I think it's good for the bottom end, right?
We need bottom end, but yeah, AMD is also pretty solid in the bottom end.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. We just have to see. And with any of these GPU related leaks and stuff, I wouldn't say, I mean, I guess you could take them with a grain of salt, but just as always, we always say, just wait till it comes out because, you know, we don't know. We don't know any of this stuff is facts until NVIDIA says it and they haven't said anything on this. This is
When they say you still need your independent benchmarks. Yeah.
So talking about graphics, one of my favorite products that I reviewed way back, but 2017 was the Aorus GTX 1080 gaming box. Basically, this is an external GPU enclosure. And for somebody, I use a Lenovo Yoga 920, which is like thin. It's like a Mac Air of PCs. But with that, I can turn that into a fully functional gaming PC. Right. When I come home,
or editing rig too,
or editing rig or anything. I mean, I had the power of a GTX 1080
at your bigger screen too.
You can connect this to a larger screen, all that kind of stuff. So they're coming out with an RTX 2070 version of this, and I'm all for it. I really like this. I think that so many of us want that thin, like paper thin laptop, right?
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love something that small, but at the same time, like maybe I want to play games, maybe I want more performance when I'm editing. And think of this as like that dock you come home to, right? Mm-hmm. It's sitting there on your desk next to your bigger monitor. You plug in one cable, which is a Thunderbolt 3 cable, And magic. You have, yeah, and it just works. Like, as NVIDIA said with RTX, it just works. it really does just work. It detects it. You select that as your main graphics, and you just, boom, you just play games.
Yeah.
No word on pricing on this, but the box art and everything was leaked, so it is coming. So if, you know, you're somebody who has, like, an ultrabook, a super thin, you know, laptop, but maybe want to get into some gaming, this is definitely something you can do. Like I said, the one that I reviewed just worked. It was awesome. So
yeah, I love this for, I was going to say, like, the Windows professional that, you know, you're on the go, you're traveling or whatever, but then you get back to your home base and, or even your office, and you got a nice sleek thing on your desktop. Like, this is perfect for them. But I think this is even perfect for the Mac user, because Apple doesn't have an accelerator. They don't have a desktop accelerator. So
I don't know if this works on Mac.
I'm saying, yeah.
But if it did.
They do have Thunderbolt 3, but...
Yes, I'm not
sure. It'd be the driver, wouldn't it? That'd be the issue.
I don't believe... I could be wrong on this, but I do not believe that macOS supports NVIDIA drivers. All Macs don't have NVIDIA... No Mac has an NVIDIA product in it.
Right, yeah. Good point.
So this would not work. But there are external ones with AMD cards that I believe would work, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're just going to have to switch to a Windows machine then.
That would be the smart move, right?
Yeah, that would be the smart move.
But in any case, like you said, this is just great because there are people that want a game that maybe not... They don't want to put in the investment of a full PC at home, right? Where you could spend... you know, get a nice monitor, gaming keyboard, gaming mouse, and essentially have a PC at home.
Yeah, and this is nice and clean. You have like your keyboard, your mouse, this, and then your monitor and that, and your laptop on your desk, and it's just nice, clean.
Yeah.
Like, big PC takes up space and stuff, you know?
Yeah, no word on what the RTX 2070, I assume it's the default one. Like, it's the reference card. Yeah. I don't think it would be overclocked. It might be, though. You never know.
Well, it's probably not reference. It's because I'm sure it's custom cooling, and it's probably a custom PCB too.
Yeah,
but so, reference clocks, yeah.
Yeah. So, exciting to see. We'll let you know when it's actually available. But moving on to SSD stuff. Two SSDs were announced recently. The first one is the WD Black SN750. This is their second NVMe SSD, consumer NVMe SSD. And the one thing that I think you would appreciate on this is they teamed up with EK for a heatsink on it.
And it does wonders for their product.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just because they're pushing this controller, because on the WD Black, the first one, there was no issues with overheating at all.
Other than, so, I think it was a boring looking drive. That Western Digital and, say, Seagate as well, probably, they're not very interesting looking products anymore. They're correct. Not the cool brands at all. They're like the big lumbering, always been around company, right? So, like, yeah. It's not that they make a bad product. It's just their image is not, like, cutting edge anymore.
I agree.
It's kind of like, I'd compare it to like IBM maybe. It's just not a very like interesting IP. So I think that this does wonders for it.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. It looks like a gamer's drive. It looks
it looks professional cool. too.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. So this is going to be available in 500 gigabyte to 2 terabyte. Speeds on the 1 terabyte are 3,470 megabytes a second read and 3,000 megabytes a second write. So very fast.
Pretty good, yeah.
And pricing will be what starts at $79.99. I assume that's for the 500 gig. Or, wait, why is it?
That'd be really cheap.
Wait a second. It says 500 gig.
250.
No, it says 500 to 2 terabyte up top of the press release. And down below it says 250 to 2 terabyte. So, yeah, I don't know. In any case, $79.99, I assume that's for the 250, 500, or $499, and I assume that's for 2 terabyte.
Yeah. And that pricing doesn't scale very well, does it?
It does not. But I think it looks awesome. I believe we're getting one into review, so I'll let you know kind of how all that performance goes. And, of course, how it looks, because it does look pretty awesome, in my opinion.
Sure does.
But the second one is from the trusty Samsung. They just launched today, on Tuesday, is their 970 Evo Plus. That's, of course, their NVMe drive, M.2. This features new VNAND memory. I believe everything else is still the same, like the same controller, everything. Basically, what they've done is they've increased the write speed. So on the previous version, the 970 Evo, which sold out, which is like in every computer, it had read and write speeds of 3,500 megabytes a second and 2,500 megabytes a second. So for the write was 2,500. They've increased the write. So the read's still the same, but the write goes up to 3,300. So it's more in line with a lot of these high-performance NVMe drives that you're seeing.
They increased the random performance too.
Yeah.
That's pretty important. That's good. So there's obviously improvements behind the scene too.
Yeah, so a lot of improvements on this. I believe the pricing's right around the same. Available in 250 to 2 terabytes, 5-year warranty, all that fun stuff that you would expect from Samsung. Doesn't have a cool heatsink on it, though. So,
no, and it'll probably overheat, too, because they do.
which one would do you want? Would you have the WD, or do you want this one?
Dude, I'd probably throw in with the WD at this point.
Yeah, I like the
WD. Pricing's probably better on it.
That, and I mean, I tested the WD, the previous one, mm-hmm. and it performed amazingly.
Yeah, they're really good. And actually, I mean, by the specs, the WD, wait, is it faster or the same on the right?
It's
pretty close.
Pretty close.
No, it's slightly slower on the right.
Yeah. But still, I think I would take, I just think this would look cool. This is, I mean, if you had a, like, you know, some, you know, a motherboard that had like two or three slots, fill them with this, with like an black, you know, like a bill, like a bill.
Any of the Armor motherboards would look really good with this slotted in.
Yeah.
It'd fit right in.
Yeah. So, cool. Two SSDs. So it looks like we're getting.
You think it's weird that Samsung didn't want to bring that to CES?
That was odd.
Yeah.
Something
they might have wanted to show off.
I mean, like Samsung didn't really know what they were doing when we came to their booth and asking for the PC stuff. Yeah. You know, they I was like, where's your new portable, like the new portable SSD that was announced before CES?
Yeah.
They showed me the T5, which had been out for a year and a half, so I don't know what they were doing. Yeah. But yeah, so we're getting refreshes on very popular drives and from two really big companies. So again, if you're looking to build a PC, those are definitely ones to consider. And a really cool product that was recently announced, I think it's really cool because we've run into this and we've seen so many products get built out of the fact that a lot of people are running two systems in the same case. It's very easy to mount an ITX system in your case, especially if you're using a CPU that has integrated graphics, because you don't even need a graphics card in there. And the sole reason you're running this second system is for streaming. Or you can run a ribbon cable and mount the graphics card anywhere. The big problem you have with this is power. We do know that Fantex has their Revolt X. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Which is their dual power supply, allowing you to power two systems. But that's kind of like your only option. And for somebody who maybe already built a PC and they put like a high performance or like a high wattage power supply already in there, just thinking like down the road I might upgrade, they finally build that, like put that second system in there, and they're like, well, how do I connect this thing? Because I don't have two 24 pins. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This company called HDplex came out with a product called the 800W-DC-ATX. Basically, it takes extra PCI Express and 8-pin EPS connectors and turns them into a 24-pin ATX and downstream PCIe and EPS connections, which is cool because and it's really small. It's like a little brick. Almost kind of looking thing, And you can mount that inside your system, connect everything, like mount it to the back of your motherboard tray, possibly, and connect everything, and you'll be good to go. It's a really cool product, I think. Yeah, it's 190 bucks, which is a little expensive.
Yeah, that's like way past the cost of the power supply you would need for your mini system, but
yeah,
for your ITX system, yeah.
But if you're
it's cool though, and super small form factor. So
yeah, if you're in that pickle of like, should I buy just a new power supply? I mean, if you're getting up in the higher wattage anyways, you're about probably over 200 for something over 1,000 watts. That's a good power supply.
Yeah, but like most ITX systems for streaming, you need like a 400 watt power supply.
That's very true. That's very true.
So Fantex also makes a splitter
that you can use. Do they make the splitter?
Yeah, they make the splitter. Well, it's a combiner. It can combine two into one. I believe it splits a regular power supply into two. I'd have to double check on that. Yeah.
I remember seeing that. I think it is a cool little device. I think it's just, it's cool to see little stuff like this from companies that aren't like huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they kind of came out of nowhere with it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't seen anything like this before. We've seen the dual power supply, and we've seen like the kind of splitter thingy that Fantex offers.
Yeah, yeah, they have a splitter. Yep. It does both ways. It's a really interesting device, but this is also a very interesting device. So.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need it, you need it, right? Like, you're $200, I mean, that's expensive. So if you need it, you definitely know you need it.
Yeah.
And we're not convincing you to get it or not. That's for sure. Not at $200.
Yeah. So talking about like adding things to your PC or just like making your PC look better, Corsair has come up with a bunch of accessories that I don't believe we saw at CES, which is kind of weird.
I think that they were in a system. The problem with the Corsair visit was they were really busy when we were there. They were
packed, yeah.
And we were fighting for time with our reps, so and just space and time with product too. So we didn't really get the full booth tour. We kind of like touched on the main things, and then we wanted to get
like some content and then leave, basically.
Yeah.
Nothing against Corsair. It's just, I mean, they're one of the most popular companies, and everybody, they had some really cool products that a lot of people wanted to talk about. So,
and you know, they're really heavy into the gaming this year too. So it made them even busier, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and they did acquire Elgato, and the Elgato products were there too. So it was like, but in any case, they have some new products. First is their sleeve cables. We've seen these before. This is just like the newer version. Paracord sleeve cables for Corsair power supplies. So if you want that cool single braided look, you can buy them directly from Corsair. A huge fan of this. I don't know why I don't have these. I should.
You know where to send the email.
Exactly. They should offer a bunch of different colors as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
That you can kind of pick from. The second thing, which I think is really nice, is they have their sleeved front panel extension kit. This gives you a sleeved, like all of your front panel connections for your system.
Yeah.
Then they're all sleeved and nice. Like, those wires are just like ugly. They just like don't look nice.
Oh, they really are. Yeah. You always sleeve those when you're sleeving.
Yeah.
When you're modding.
Yeah, so like they have all the connections all sleeved. They look really, really, really nice. I believe they're like USBs, all the front panel headers, and a USB 3.1 Gen 1 internal header that you get with that kit. Yeah, on top of that they also...
Hold on a second. Do you think that 3.1 or USB 3 connector is the ugliest connector in the case?
It's ugly, and it's huge.
Yeah, like I hate that connector.
I hate that connector. I bent those pins so many times.
Yeah.
Or the connector is so big, it like gets stuck, and then you pull it out, and you're pulling pins out.
Yeah.
I've done that before, too.
There's no good scenario for that thing.
Yeah.
Someone needs to redesign that for sure.
Well, the nice one, the USB 3.1 Gen 2 connector is just, it's a nice little thing.
Little guy, yeah.
Yeah. Progress.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
It's only been, I don't know when USB 3.0 came out, 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Also, they have a sleeved SATA cables.
Yeah.
Which just, again, it's just like that little aesthetic that just makes it nice. These are like not really interesting products, but like if you're going for that look, this is just something that you need.
Yeah, if you're doing it and you're not going to do it yourself, you should do this. Like, if you're doing a build and you're not going to do your own sleeving, you should buy sleeve cables.
Yeah,
it's everything to your build.
You get those crappy, most times, unless you buy like a really high-end motherboard, you get like those crappy, plasticky SATA cables. Like, this is just nice. These have the clips on them too, so it's like some SATA, like some you get don't even have the like locking clips on them. Like,
well, yeah, you know.
Yeah. So you get that. They also have a PCI Express 3.0 X16 extension cable. So you can mount your graphics card vertically or however you want it. So you have that.
That one doesn't look as good.
Yeah, that one doesn't look as good.
In my opinion, yeah. It's plasticky.
Yeah, this is their first one they're offering. So hopefully they have like a nicer one, a more sleeved one.
Yeah, and I do get that most of that is covered up. But the point of like these mods is that you just mod them anyways. So
yeah, they basically made this to go with their 500D case that offers they was actually announced last week, but they put it in with this press release. They have their first thermal paste, which is the TM30. So another person in the thermal paste thing. You can't tell you if it's good or not. I
wonder who's making that for them.
Yeah,
that's always my question. That's not something that they're probably doing in house at all.
Yeah,
that's a chemical thing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more curious who's making it for them, because that's going to determine like, you know, how good it is. It's probably pretty good, I would guess. Probably not exceptional.
Better than what comes on your stock cooler.
Yeah. Oh, you know what though? I should be more excited about this, because I've complained even recently that it's nice with the Corsair cooler to have like your AIOs, they all have pre-installed TIM. Every single one, that's fantastic. It's super easy until you need to mount it a second time, which is, you know, that happens, man. Like,
so frequently. Like maybe this whole thing was like, we're going to throw this in the package.
I would hope maybe, or a small version of it, a smaller little tube. Cause I'm not expecting Corsair to throw in like, you know, 10 installs worth, but like one or two more. Like, dude, even like the most bargain brand coolers that I've reviewed, they usually they're good for like 3 installs, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. So all that new stuff from Corsair. Cool. I like the sleeve cables. I like the idea of them making their own TIM. And that they can just add it in, you know, throw it in there with some stuff maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool stuff there. And then we're on to gaming news. The first thing is for the next 2 days, because they've been running this for about a week, is that Call of Duty Blackout is free to play until January 24th. So Blackout is the Battle Royale mode for Call of Duty.
It's like everything horrible all in one sentence.
I actually downloaded this. I haven't had time to play it because I've been doing reviews.
I can't wait for you to love it so I can make fun of you all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I might just. But anyways, it's free. it runs through Battle.net because Activision and Blizzard are one company now or something. So you just, if you, you know, you play Overwatch or something like that, it will show up. You can download it. And it's a battle royale game. So if you were like thinking you might want to try Black Ops, this is the perfect thing. While it's just a battle royale mode, it gives you an idea of the mechanics of the game, and it's free. You know. So definitely we have the link there where you can go ahead and download it. Or if you just open your Battle.net launcher thing, it will pop up there. And the second thing is that Blizzard has listed a new job on their job board.
Are you fine?
No, I know nothing about game design.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were telling us about a new job you were going
for. But it's for a quest designer for an unannounced project, but it's from the Diablo team. So people are thinking this is Diablo 4. This is what we've been wanting. This is, you know, because at the last BlizzCon, they announced a new Diablo game, but it was for mobile and everybody was pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, when they announced that, like, their stock went down. That's how pissed people were. So this really hints to the fact that there is a Diablo game in the making. Hopefully it's Diablo 4. I think they have, I'm trying to think. There's 19 Diablo-related jobs on the Blizzard careers page. So it's more than likely they're gearing up for a new game, which Diablo fans probably are pretty excited about. I never really got into Diablo. It was just never my thing.
No, I never played Diablo.
I've played it. Like, I played Diablo 3, the last one.
Yeah.
We even played it on our Twitch channel. Actually, I played it on there for a while. But it just, I don't know. Like, that type of gaming for me is not. I'm more of an FPS type guy.
I like RPGs. I just never got into it. I don't actually, truthfully, I don't have time for an RPG anymore, though. Like, that's just something you gotta like make what you do. Yeah,
for sure. So, if you're excited for the next Diablo game, this pretty much is saying that
it should be coming.
You know, yeah, it should be coming. Who knows how soon? Probably we'll know the next BlizzCon time, which is the like September, August, or something.
Yeah.
So probably a ways out, but definitely something to be excited for. That's our news. So we'll move on to what we have coming out next week. First thing is our first RTX 2060 review. This is the Zotac Gaming RTX 2060 Twin Fan. Basically, this is a stock RTX 2060 with Zotac's Twin Fan design. Actually, I think the card looks quite good for I believe this one is the MSRP of $349. Full backplate, looks good. The cooler looks like kind of like their new design that they've been going for. It's just a good looking card. I have it in test bench right now, so
I liked it when we saw it.
Yeah,
looks good.
Yeah, so I'll have that, and I'm also reviewing a motherboard. So I'm taking a look at the ASRock Z390 Extreme 4. They're like Extreme 4. It's like their solid motherboard.
Yeah.
Just a good all-around motherboard. So I'll be telling you guys a little bit about that next week. And I'm looking at a micro SDXC card from a newer company that we've never worked with before called Freetail. And it's their Evoke Pro 1000X, which is a horrible product name in my opinion. But it's a 64 gigabyte micro SDXC card. Capable of 240 megabytes a second.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah, pretty fast card. So I'll be testing that out, seeing how it works in a couple of devices that I have, and obviously doing speed tests and letting you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, letting you guys know a little bit more kind of about that company and all of that stuff. That's what we have coming next week. And at the end of the podcast, we always talk about anything cool, nerdy, games, movies, anything that we saw or did this week. I know Derek's kind of had bad luck this week, I would say. So did you
definitely
have a chance to play anything, see anything?
I actually watched a lot of Netflix because we were sitting around waiting for things to happen. The one I would recommend is Io. People complained about the plot on it, and I can like kind of get that, but it's also super interesting, kind of post-apocalyptic. It's cool. It's just a cool movie, and kind of keeps you going the whole time, wondering like what's going to happen. It's, if you're a sci-fi fan, I think it's worth a check out on the Netflix.
Nice. I actually saw a trailer for that like literally last night, and I almost watched it, but I didn't. So, given your recommendation, I'll definitely check it out. I did, however, was on the Netflix and I watched the Fire Festival documentary.
That's on my playlist.
A lot of people have been talking about it on social media, like a lot of my friends and people were checking it out, and it's pretty crazy the stuff that they got away with and like how they just like
no repercussions.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all over the news. I think in 2017.
Last summer, I think.
Yeah.
I want to call it the shenanigans, but it's a little beyond shenanigans, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this guy's in. I don't want to ruin it, but he's in jail.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It's like it's cool to watch documentaries on things that have happened like in our time, like recently, right? You see so many documentaries about like wars and things like that and very far in the past, but something that's happened recently and there's already a documentary kind of giving you like the behind the scenes of everything.
Yeah, that's interesting actually, now that you bring that up.
Yeah.
Like, because you, like, see it, and you're like, huh, that's crazy, and you read a little bit, and then, but, like, what really happened? So this is, yeah. Get the deep dive, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, even, like, the National Geo series, I forget, I talked about it a couple podcasts ago, but, I mean, that was even in, like, the 90s, or 99, in yeah. 2000, like, that's still... 18 years ago, like, that's crazy to think about, but
yeah,
you know, this is like literally happened over the course of like 2016 2017, and we already have a documentary on it. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. So yeah, so check that out. So yeah, guys, that basically wraps it up. Good to have you back on the podcast, and hopefully you get everything with your house all figured out, so
yeah.
So you're not freezing and you can take showers?
Well, yeah, we're warm now and we can take showers. We just have to get our house rebuilt, so. Yeah, and no worries.
Well. Yeah. So as I always say, we have our full show notes page that will tell you everything that we talked about. So, you know, we're talking about the documentaries. You can deep dive. You can deep dive on all of these products and get even more information. And, of course, we're on all of the podcasting everything. So you just search for us, Think Computers, all one word. Till next week, catch you guys later.